Okay, one of the favorite parts of Hanukkah is singing the Hanukkah songs that we were taught when we were young. And sometimes a common mikshel that we have is that sometimes we're so used to something, it's so part of our way of doing things, that we stop thinking about what the words mean. So I want to go over the song that we sing, Yivanim Nikvitzu Olai, and try to be medayik a few diyukim and to understand something deeper about Hanukkah. So Yivanim Nikvitzu Olai, the Greeks ganged up on me, they gathered against me, Azai Bimei Chashmanim, at that time, in the days of the Chashmanim, Ufartzu Chaymais Migdalai, and they broke open, they blasted open the walls of my fortress, of my towers, V'timu Kol Hashmanim, and they defiled all the oils, Uminoisa Kankanim, and from the few jars that were left, from what was left over from the jars, Nasa Nesla Shoshanim, a miracle was done for the Yidden. Shoshana means roses, but it refers to Yidden. B'nei Bino Yimei Shmoina, the Chachamim made a yontif of 8 days, Kavu Shir Renanim, they were Kaveya, they set that we should have all kinds of song and thanks to Hashem. That's Yivanim Nikvitzu Olai. So we say that they broke open the walls of my towers. Upartzu Chaymois Migdalai. When did they do that? What's that referring to? So there's something called Megillas Yevanis, or Megillas Antiochus. Something called Megillas Antiochus, and it's printed in the Siddur Eitzer Atfilas. And there were congregations that had a minig every Shabbos Chanukah during Mincha, just like we on Purim, we lay in Megillas Esther to be Mepharis in the Nes that happened on Purim. There were kehilos that had a minig every Shabbos Chanukah by Mincha to lay in Megillas Antiochus. It was written originally in Aramaic and it was translated into Hebrew. It's from the earliest Kadmonim, earlier than a lot of the history books that the people rely on to describe the Tkufa of the Chashmonaim. Even earlier than that, this Megillah was written. So it's written mamish like Megillah Esther by Hebi Mei Antiochus. So it says over here, Sheinis Kom Bagris HaRasha, a second time, it's like a second attack, Bagris HaRasha got up, by Yovel Yerushalayim, and he came to Yerushalayim, and it says all kinds of things he did, by Yeshaber Bamikdash, and he broke in the base Hamikdash, Shloish Esrei Pirzois, 13 openings. He blasted 13 openings in the Mikdash. Breaches, thank you. He ground up stones, and so on. So what's these 13 breaches? So the MS is, it's fascinating to know that it's a Ferish Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Masecht Midas that says, it talks about the different mechitzas, the different walls and boundaries that existed in the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Lefnimi Menu, talking about the different Gvulim Harabayas and so on. So it says that the next one is called Soireg. There was a wall in the Beis HaMikdash, a mechitza in the Beis HaMikdash called Soireg. It was called the Soireg, Samach Vav Reish Gimel, Soireg. Gavaya Asara Tvachim, it was 10 Tvachim tall. Ushleish Esrei Pirzois Hayusham, there were 13 breaches in that wall. Where did they come from? Sheparzu Malchei Yavon, that the kings of Greece blasted, that they opened up. Which is mamash what it says in Megillas Antiochus, these 13 holes. Chazru V'Gadrum, they built them up, they fixed up all the holes. They fixed the mechitza. The Gozru Kenegdom, and they made a gzeira as a thanks to Hashem that they were able to restore the Beis HaMikdash. They made a gzeira, Shloish Esrei Hishtachavoyis. So when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you should bow down 13 times, Keneg these 13 holes. Midos Perak Beis Nishnagim. Now, what is this Soireg? What is it? So this Soireg was a wall that was made out of wood, and the way it's described, almost like a trellis type of, it was described as pieces of wood that were crisscrossed. You were able to see through it. It was like a screen. Pieces of wood crisscrossed just to create a mechitza. Like we would put up a picket fence. It's a wooden mechitza. They're put on a lachsa in one on the other, creating little windows. You were able to see through. It was a mechitza around. How tall was this mechitza? 10 tefachim, like the equivalent of approximately 40 inches. Not a very tall mechitza. It's also not a very power. I'm saying it's a wooden mechitza that you can see through, and it was about 40 inches tall. This is the big mechitza that we're talking about. I'll give you an example. They were talking about a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about in Iraq that there were a lot of explosives that were missing. It was a big time in the news that they were very, very into that there were explosives that were missing in Iraq. So I heard an interview of a soldier at that time. They was describing how they went about attacking different buildings. So what they do is now the United States Army, if they have to conquer a city or they have to get into a building, they take tanks, they surround the building, and they blast these humongous 6 or 8 foot wide, 8 foot tall holes into it. And then the soldiers could come in on all sides. Suddenly it's blasted open. You know, stone walls are just blasted open like paper, and the soldiers could rush in. Okay, that's military might. What's the big military might that they blasted 13 holes in a wooden picket fence? It's funny. 13 holes. We're going to sing on Chanukah. There were breaches in our towers. These are towers. This is a big threat to the Jewish nation that they knocked down a picket fence. They made 13 holes. And also, who cares how many holes they were? Okay, we go on in the Yevanim. Nasa Neis LaShoshanim. A miracle happened to the roses. It's funny, I looked in the article Siddur this morning. So it says, Nasa Neis LaShoshanim, that a miracle was brought on the, you know, on the roses. It doesn't give any explanation. I think that maybe in a future volume, they should explain that the roses are the Jews. It's a little funny kind of song. A miracle was made for the roses. So the roses are the Yidden. Those are the roses. Fine. But why are they called roses here? It's beautiful, but why are they called roses here? There's so many names to call Yidden. Why are they called roses? Okay, a second question. That's the questions I have on this song, Yevanim Nikvatzu Olai. Now let's move to the Alan Nisim, another thing, special thing that we say on Chanukah. A lot of the Mefarshim discover a lot of interesting differences between Chanukah and Purim by examining the differences between the Alan Nisim of Purim and the Alan Nisim of Chanukah. They're right next to each other. And if you examine it, you see a lot of times differences between them. So I noticed the difference between the Alan Nisim of Chanukah and the Alan Nisim of Purim that I haven't seen anywhere, but I think it's a valid question. Both of them start with, in the days of the Tzaddik, in the days of Matas Yob and Yechon and Kayin Gadol and his children, in the days of Mordechai and Esther, and both of them explain the threat that happened. By Chanukah it says that the wicked kingdom of Greece came up against Klal Yisrael to make them forget the Torah and so on. And the Purim one says that Haman HaRasha, you know, stood up, Omad Aleim Haman HaRasha, and he attempted to destroy, to obliterate, to annihilate all the Jews. Well, the two threats that happened on Purim, we were threatened with annihilation, and on Chanukah we were threatened with assimilation. The two different things that happened. But if you look at the Purim one, it says that Haman wanted to kill all the Yehudim. He wanted to kill the Jews. Yehudim are Jews. If you look in the Chanukah one, we talk directly to Hashem, and we say Malchus Yavon stood up against Amcha Yisrael, your nation, the Jews. But it doesn't say on the Purim one, Amcha Yehudim, your nation, the Jews. Because we know, we're davening Shemoneh Esrei to Hashem, we know that we're talking to Hashem, and we're Hashem's nation, we understand that. Yet on the Chanukah, Yimei Matisyo, we don't say that the Yavon came up, ganged up on the Jews, Al Yisrael. We tell Hashem, on your nation, the Jews. What's the Hadgasha there on Dafka on Chanukah, not on Purim, to say to your nation, that they ganged up on your nation? Another question, we discussed this a little over Shabbos. And every time Klal Yisrael is in Gola, so Klal Yisrael has its Tzara, so the Tzara, the Chachamim, the great Chachamim of Klal Yisrael will try to analyze the Tzara that they didn't have and try to understand from the Tzara that they have what it was that the guy wanted from us. Haman wanted to kill us. He hated the fact that Yidden exist. Yavon, they wanted to assimilate us. It's a different type of thing. Mitzrayim wanted something different. Each nation that was Meshabed, Klal Yisrael, wanted... They were coming from a different angle. Each Ummah that causes us trouble is coming from a different angle. When you try to examine what angle Yavon was coming from, it's very confusing. There are three gzeiros that we know about that Yavon did. Gzera number one, which is the most famous one, is that they didn't want us to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. L'ha'avira mechuke ritzaynecha. They didn't want us to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. Assimilation. They didn't want us to serve Hashem. Okay. The second gzera that we know of was that they took our Torah and they translated it into Greek. It says in Chazal that the day that the Torah was translated into Greek, darkness descended on the world. The Targum of the Torah to Yevanis. That doesn't sound like an assimilation. Adarabah, they're translating, they're learning our Torah. That's great. We're spreading Torah. That doesn't sound like assimilation. Telling me not to keep the Torah and then translating the Torah so you can understand it, those are two different things. And the third thing is really coming from left field. We know, those who learned at the beginning of Ksubas know that there was a gzeira in the times of Yavan that a girl who got married, before she was able to get married, she had to be mezana with the nobleman, with the general. She couldn't go as a besula to her husband. She had to already become a ba'ula through a Yavani. That sounds like they had an interest in znus, in immorality, in gashmius, it sounds like. So how do we understand? They seem to be coming to us from all sides. What does Yavan want from us? They want us not to keep the Torah. They want the Torah. They want znus. What does Yavan want? And finally, one last question before we start heading to the answers. This translation of the Torah into Greek is very, very mysterious, because the Masechet Megillah, it says, is one sheet, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that the only language that you're allowed to translate the Torah into is Greek. Adarabah, you're not allowed to translate the Torah into any other language, going to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, except Yevani. That you're allowed to do. That's right. Why? So the Gemara says, the same reason it says on that Mishnah, the Gemara says, because there's a pasuk in Chumash. It says, Yafta lekin liyefes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will broaden the boundaries of Yefes. Yefes was one of Noach's children, and whose son was Yavan, whose son was the founder, the father of Greece. Yavan was one of the children, B'nai Yefes is Yavan. So Yafta lekin liyefes, v'yishkain ba'al leishein, and he'll dwell, Yefes, meaning Yavan, will dwell in the tents of shame. Why Yavan specifically? Because Yavan had the most beautiful language, as the Gemara darshins. Yafifusai shel Yefes, the beauty of Yefes. Greek was a beautiful language. The beauty of Yefes will dwell in the tents of shame. So Reb Shimon Gamliel understood that I could take the Torah, I can't stop translating into another language, but the beautiful language of Greek, I could translate the Torah into. Whereas Daniel pointed out, we have a Mishnah in Shkalim that says that there were three boxes that they used to put the Machzis HaShekels into. So the Mishnah says, according to one Shita, that on the boxes it said Alpha, Beta, Gamla. It said the first three letters of the alphabet in Greek. And if you look at the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, they say because there's an Inyan that the beauty of Greece should be in the tents of shame. What's the tent of shame? The Beis HaMikdash. So how do we have darkness descending on the world when we translate the Torah into Greek? We're supposed to translate the Torah into Greek. Yafifus leishal yafis ba'ol leishen. I saw an article that Rosham Shofal Hirsch wrote. He sets up the way that the world functions in a very, very beautiful way. He says, after the Mabul was a new world, they came out of the Teva, three sons of Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yefes. And as we know, Noach planted a vineyard, and he got drunk immediately, he was drunk, and he took off his clothing. And he's lying there without clothing. And Cham comes and sees him, all kinds of chazal, exactly what Cham did, but Cham comes and sees him, and Cham does not have this instinct to cover his father, rather he calls his other brothers to see the spectacle. But his brothers, they come and they vayikach shem vayefes as similar shem and yefes come and they take clothing. The radal is medayik that it says ha similar the clothing. What's the clothing? He says shem took off his own clothing to cover his father. That's how much he wanted to protect the tznias of his father. And they covered up Noach. But it wasn't equal. As you see from this Radal, but Rashi himself says, it says in the Pasuk, Vayikach, Shem Vayefes, it should say Vayikchu, and they took. It says, and he took Shem and Yefes, the cloth, the clothing. So Rashi says, Shem took it. He schlepped Yefes along with him. Yefes also came along to do it. But the instigator, the originator of this idea of protecting the dignity, the tznius of the father, came from Shem. So after Noach woke up from his shikrus, from his drunkenness, he said a klala and a bracha that set the stage for world events for all future generations. He said, Yafta lekim liyefes, these psukim that we said from Shem ben Gamliel, Yafta lekim liyefes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will broaden the gvulim of Yefes, v'yishka in ba'al le'shem, and he'll dwell in the tents of Shem, v'hi kenan eved lamay, and Kenan, which is the descendant of Ham, will be a slave to them. Kenan will be the eved, the slaves, to Shem and Yefes. So, Rosham Shavuot says like this, Kenan, the descendant of Ham, who didn't have any instinct of covering the nakedness of his father, rather he's completely almost animalistic. The situation was okay with him. He represents all the sensuality, the no gvulim, the complete animalism of the world. That's what Ham represents. And Ham, therefore, Noach said, the only way to control that is if two other cultures, Shem or Yefes, take control over those taivas, that gashmias, and take control of it. And there's two cultures. One is the culture of Yefes, and one is the culture of Shem. And as we know, the Goyish world also has a culture where there's such a thing. The Goyim also have understanding such a thing called morality. There's such a thing called dignity. The Goyim have chachma. They understand, they have an appreciation for beauty. There's arts and sciences. It's more than just monkeys. There is a culture by Goyim. Chachma by Goyim tamen. You could believe that there's chachma by Goyim. And Shem, the descendants of Shem, which is us, which is Klal Yisrael, we have our Torah. And Cham, which is the behemios, has to be meshubah to Shem and to Yefes. But Yefes can't exist on its own, because Yefes only exists v'yishkoin v'ol le'shem. He has to dwell in the tents of Shem. What does that mean? So Shem Shafal Hirsch says that Yefes, even assuming that everything works properly, that the whole culture of Yefes works properly, which it usually doesn't work properly, it's only meaningful, and it's only worth its weight, it's only accomplishing something when it dwells in the tents of Shem. Which means when Shem, meaning Klal Yisrael, is setting the tone. When everything is under the dominion of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because the world is full of many different cultures, many different ideas, many different chachmas. It's a haphazard world full of many, many different things. The job of Klal Yisrael and the job of Shem is to connect this world to Ruchnius. Is to connect this world to Hashem. We'll take the mashal of what we're discussing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful language called Greek. It's a beautiful language. Greek existing on its own is not accomplishing anything. Taking Greek and using it for Ruchnius, using it to portray the beauty of Torah in another language, that's using what Yefes has for Kedusha. And that was the idea of translating the Torah into Greek, or putting Greek letters in the Beis Hamikdash, to use whatever the culture and chachma that Goyim have, to use that, to put that underneath the Malchus of Shem, who's going to show how everything connects back to Hashem. And everything has to, ultimately, Lamashal, these unbelievable sciences of biology. Unbelievable. But biology alone doesn't get us anywhere. You take biology and you make a shidduch with Rabbi Avigdor Miller, let's say, who shows how every single thing that exists in the world just announces clearly how there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and how the fact that there's photosynthesis, or the fact that there's how fish live, or the way that a lake freezes, or all the different things that exist in the world are witnesses to how unbelievable Hashem's involvement in the world is. That's Yafifusei Shel Yefes, the beauty of Yefes. That's the Goyish culture that got involved in the sciences and understanding the world. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller took it and he connected it to the Ol Shem. He brought it into our tent. He used all his knowledge of science and of the world just to become closer to Hashem. So that's the setup of the world. You have Canaan, that's like the lowest level. You have Yefes, that's already culture, beauty, art, sciences. But all of that is meaningless and without direction if you don't have Klal Yisrael focusing it on a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, connecting it to Hashem. we call Klal Yisrael, and let's say in Shabbos by Mincha, we say, Ato Echad, Ushimcha Echad, Umika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Klal Yisrael is called one nation. So we think simply we're one nation because we're called one nation because we're one nation. But it's obvious, L'chaver, that we're one nation. And the Chinese are one nation, and all the different countries that exist in the world are all one nation. Most of them, anyway. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael is one nation? What it means that Klal Yisrael is one nation is not just that they're one, but that they're a unifier. They unify the world to one purpose. All the different things that exist in the world, the job of Klal Yisrael is to unify it under Malchus Shemayim. That every single talent and every single culture and every single creativity and every wisdom and every beauty that exists in the world should be unified, should have one purpose and one focus, and that's to be Mekabel the Malchus of Hashem. So we're one nation, we're not just one nation, but we're a nation that's about one. We're a nation about unifying the whole world under one flag. And that flag is the flag of Malchus Shemayim. Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Okay, so now let's go back to that ticket fence. This Soyreg, what was the purpose of this Soyreg? You have this fence that you could see through, it's a low fence, we said. The Chayr is not such a big deal that the Yavanim were able to break holes in it. It's not such military power. They're able to break holes in it. Soyreg, Gavaya, Saratvachim, Ushleishas, Repirtsas, Hayushem, Shapartsum, Malcha Yavim. So the Taisus Yantiv says, and I saw this morning brought that the Gra says the same thing. He says, "Huma shekosavti kvar b'sefer tzuras habayis." I already wrote in my sefer where I set up the way the Beis Hamikdash looked. Shehu laseis makayim v'hevdil. The purpose of the Seirig is to create a separation bein ha'oyvdei kechavim hanichnasim lehisfalo b'beis Hashem ubein Yisrael. The purpose of the Seirig was to separate until here a guy could stand. From here on is only for Yidden. Yidden are special. Yidden are closer. Yidden can move closer to the Makim of Avodah. Yidden can move closer to the center of Avodah Hashem. The Goyim are all on the outside, and the Yidden are the unifying force on the inside. The purpose of the Seirig was to separate. Goyim, you're welcome to the Beis HaMikdash. We encourage Goyim to come to the Beis HaMikdash. We encourage Goyim to serve Hashem. But at a certain gvul, we draw the line and we say, "You Goyim, you stand up till here, we'll take over from here." The Yavanim didn't like that. The Yavanim didn't like this concept that Yefes could only exist but Ba'alei Shem. That the whole beauty of Greece, the whole beauty, the whole accomplishment, starting from Aristotle, Chachma by Goyim, the Chachma by Goyim, was primarily a Greek thing. The Greeks were the primary philosophers, and they're the ones that brought Chachma to Goyim. They didn't like this idea that Klal Yisrael has, that Klal Yisrael is the purpose of the Bria. And everything that exists is just to go under the flag of Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael is what's special. That the Yidden are what's special. The Yidden are the purpose of the world. They didn't like that idea. You're not any different than anybody else. We have our philosophy. You also have very beautiful philosophies. There's very nice Jewish ideas. When we give college lectures, we'll also say the Jewish ideas. But don't think that you're something special, that everything that we have is only valid if it's under your flag. The Yishkain Ba'alei Shein. That the Yavanim didn't like. That our whole culture is just subject to you focusing it towards Hashem. They didn't like that. Our culture stands on its own. There is no Hashem. There is no Ruchnius. That's not necessary. And the beauty of the sciences and the arts stands on its own. It doesn't just exist so Rabbi Avigdor Miller could show us the beauty of Hashem. So the wall in the Beis HaMikdash that separated, Goyim go until here, from here on are Yidden, that wall indicates that Yidden believe that there's something special about Yidden. This Yidden have a special job in the world, and the Yavanim don't like it. Yidden are a Goy Echad, we're one nation, we're a unifier. The Yavanim didn't like that, so the Yavanim blasted 13 holes in the world, in the wall. The gematria of Echad is 13. Aleph Ches Dalet is 13. Don't think that you're anything special. You're not a Goy Echad Boris. We're going to break down the wall with the gematria of Echad. Don't think that you're a Goy Echad, that you're something special. That all the Goyim could come until here, but you take over. There's nothing different between you and us. We could blast through the wall that's supposed to separate Yidden and Goyim. So when the Megillas Antiochus, or the Mishnah and Midas, say that part of the tragedy that happened, part of the tzara that happened, was that 13 breaches were blasted into the wall of the Seirig, it's not coming to show how strong the Yevanim were. It was nothing to break a hole in a wooden fence. It's not that when it talks about other things, about you know, breaking open the wall of Yerushalayim or something, that maybe took military might. They had to use their elephants for that. But to open the Seirig, they didn't need to use any elephants. It was not a hard thing. The purpose of talking about the Yud Gimel Peretzis is to show that what they wanted was that we shouldn't think that there's anything special about Yiddishkeit. You see the same thing in a pasuk in Daniel. In Daniel, in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Zayin, it says about one of the kings. It doesn't say who in the pasuk. Rashi says who. Vayosem panov, and he put his face, he put his focus. Lovay b'taykif, to come with strength. B'taykif kol malchusay, with the strength of his whole, of the might of his whole nation. V'yisharim imay, and yisharim, and straight people went with him. And Ubas Hanashim Yitain Lai Lahashchisa, he wanted to destroy this Bas Hanashim. Well, very cryptic. What is this pasuk saying? So Rashi says, Vayosem Panav is that the king came to fight against Klal Yisrael. He came with the whole might of his nation to fight against Klal Yisrael. The Yisharim Imai, Klal Yisrael are called Yisharim. The word Yisrael, Yud Shin Resh, is Yashar. Klal Yisrael are called Yisharim. Yisharim Imai, Yidden joined in. That's what happened in the story of Hanukkah. The Yidden became Hellenized. They became Isyavnim. The Yidden also, so a lot of Yidden also joined this king. And they came to do war with the Bas Hanashim, with the nation that's called the most beautiful amongst women, which those who are familiar with Shir HaShirim know that that's always the mashal for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called the most beautiful of women. Hayafa Banashim. That's what Klal Yisrael is called. And this king took Yidden with him to go wage war against Klal Yisrael. And then it says in the end, V'loy Samu, then it didn't pan out. V'loy Loitiyah, he didn't end up being able to take control of this nation. Who's this king? Rashi says, V'oymer Ani, and I say, Shehu Antiochus Melech Yavon, that it's Antiochus, the king of Yavon, Shegozar Gzeiris al Yisrael, that he was Gozar Gzeiris on Yidden, V'tziva Lepulipus Sar Tzavoi, he commanded his general Pulipus, Laharoik, to kill, Eskol HaKoyrei Shmo Yehudi, whoever calls his name Yehudi, K'may Shekosu B'Sefer Yosefa, and like Josephus says. And he didn't manage to do it, he says, because Shayamoid Matisyo ben Yochanan v'Yifrek Ulo me'al Yisrael. Because Matisyo and his five sons came, and they were able to conquer the Melech Yavon. But what is this Melech Yavon? What does he want to do? He wants to kill anyone who identifies himself as a Yid. And there's a big difference. You know, they talk about are we Jewish Americans or are we American Jews? Ever heard this? He says, are we American Jews or are we Jewish Americans? American Jews, America is an adjective. It describes what type of a Jew we are. There are Polish Jews, there are Israelitic Jews, there are American Jews. Jewish Americans describes what kind of Americans we are. There are Chinese Americans, there are African Americans, and there are Jewish Americans. Kairei Atzmei B'Shem Yehudi means I'm a Jew. I'm an American Jew, perhaps, because I'm a Jew that was born in America, but I'm not a Jewish American. Jew is not just a incidental part of my culture. First and foremost, I'm an American. Incidentally, also, I do have Jewish roots. My roots go back to the Judaic tribes. I have Jewish roots. No, I'm a Jew. I'm Kairei Atzmei B'Shem Yehudi. I'm a Jew. You want to know what kind of Jew? I'm an American Jew. I'm a white male. A lot of ways you could describe me, but what I am is I'm a Jew. That's what I am. That's exactly what Yavon didn't like. Don't define yourself. There's nothing special about the fact that you're a Jew. We appreciate all cultures. Your Jewish culture is also very interesting. But don't define yourself. Don't write when you have to figure out, when you have to write which culture you are. Don't write Jewish. That doesn't mean anything. It's a incidental, historic nugget of information. It's not important. Kill anyone who identifies themselves as a Jew. That's why it was so tragic when they translated the Torah into Greek. Of course, it's beautiful when the Torah is translated into Greek, because it allows Goyim to also see the beauty of the Torah. But Chazal tell us that that time when they translated the Torah into Greek, what was pushing them? What was pushing them was, Torah is nothing special. I could teach Torah in our colleges. I'm teaching biology, I'm teaching chemistry, I'm teaching social sciences, I'm teaching philosophy, I'll teach Torah also. Why are you treating Torah? Torah can only be taught in a yeshiva. Torah is special. You need a special kind of Rebbe. You have to wash your hands before you learn Torah. You have to be dressed, dignified. Torah is special. Torah is not special. Translate it into Greek. Teach it like any other chachma. Okay, fine. It's very nice. It's very interesting. There are very nice cultural tidbits in the Torah. But it's nothing. There are also cultural tidbits in the teachings of Confucius. It's not. Let Torah join. Let Yidden join the family of man. You know. Let them. We teach all other religions and philosophies. Let's teach Torah too. Translate the Torah into Greek.
It's like Kabbalah.
Yeah. That's right. Unfortunately, yeah. That was the goal of translating the Torah into Greek. And the same thing, before a girl gets married, she has to spend time with the general. What was the idea? The idea was, you think you have such a special yichus? You're special, you're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Don't be so afraid to mix in. We can mix in a little Greek in there. Every single girl that got married in the Kedusha, before the Yid was able to say, Hare at Mekudesh Asli, there's Kedusha in a Jewish marriage. It's special. We keep away from Goyim, and we're makbid on our yichus, that it's stated to Harasa, that we don't get involved with Goyim and with immorality and with all that goes on around us, because there's something special about the chain of Judaism. No. Before she gets married, let her first be with the hegemon. Let her first be with the general. Inject some impurity. Inject some lack of the full purity of the golden chain of the yichus of Klal Yisrael. And the third thing that we said, so that's why these two things do fit together. And the third thing that we said to the that they didn't want them to keep the Torah and mitzvahs, that's obviously is the same idea. You want to discuss your beautiful culture and tell us all the lessons of your culture. That's very, very beautiful. That's fine. But don't go acting different than us. We're all the same. I have my culture, you have your culture, but we're all the same. There's a halacha that a mumer, someone who gives up Torah and mitzvahs, in certain halachas, harei hu kenachri, he's like a guy. In certain areas, someone who gives up all of his shmir of Torah and mitzvahs has certain dinim like a guy. That's exactly what the Greeks wanted. They wanted harehu kenapa. You're just like a guy. There's nothing special about you. I could learn your Torah, and you could act like me. There's nothing special about you. There's nothing special. Goy echad ba'aretz. There's nothing special about being a yid. If you read the Alanisim, you see this clearly in the Alanisim. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you stood up for us. Amadata lehem be'ez tzarasam. You fought our war, you were done our din, you avenged our nekama, nekamtas nikmasam. And then we say five things. Masarta, you gave over. Five things. Gibayrim biyad chaloshim, the strong in the hands of the weak. Rabim biyad me'atim, many in the hands of the few. Tmeim biyad tahirim, the impure in the hands of the pure. Rishayim biyad tzadikim, the wicked in the hands of the righteous. B'zeidim b'yad eiske sayresecha, and those who make light of Torah, zeidim helitzuni, is leitzanis, those who make light of Torah in the hands of those who have chashivas for Torah, who involve themselves in Torah. Now those five things are really two categories, if you think about it. One category is the description of the miracle. The weak, the strong in the hands of the weak. The many in the hands of the few. That's a description of what the miracle was. The second three are a description of why the miracle. The impure in the hands of the pure, that's why. The Rishayim in the hands of the Tzadikim, that's why. The Leitzanim, the Zaydim in the hands of those who learn Torah, that's why. So the first two are the what, and the second three are the why. So let's examine the second three. Tmeim bi'at tahirim, the impure in the hands of the pure, that's the people that were Meiser Nefesh against. We don't want to send our wives to be with the general. We don't want to involve ourselves in the impurity of the yichus of Goyim. Rishayim biyat tzadikim, that represents those who are Moiser Nefesh. We don't want to be over on Torah and Mitzvahs. We want to keep the Torah. We want to remain tzadikim. We want to keep the Torah. And Zaydin Biyadoiske Sarasecha, that's the third thing. I'm not going to treat Torah like any other Chachma. I'm still going to treat Torah with a special Chashivas. I'm not going to allow the late Sanim, the Zaydim, to make Torah like any other Chachma. The Zaydin Biyadoiske Sarasecha, those who involve themselves, who have a Chashivas, who have a respect for Torah so much so that they're willing to sweat over it and spend hours trying to understand it, that shows that we place Torah on a pedestal. So the three Gzeiris, Tiboy Lehegem and Chila, Lehavra al Chukai Ritzaynecha, and Targum HaTayra Tiyavonis, are reflected in Tmei and Biat Tahirim, Rishoy and Biat Tzadikim, and Zayd and Biat Oiske Sayrosecha. And that's what the point is over here. By Purim, Haman wanted to kill out Yidden. So it says he wanted to kill the Yidden. The Greeks didn't want to kill the Yidden. They wanted to make Yidden stop feeling like they're Hashem's chosen nation. Yidden could exist, but don't feel like you're Hashem's chosen nation. So that's why we say, Kisha'om de Malchus Yavon Asher, Al Amcha Yisrael, on your nation, your chosen nation. That's what they ganged up on. They didn't gang up on Jews. If you want to live like a Greek, you're fine. You could be a Jew. Just don't identify yourself as a Greek first. Be a Jewish Greek. Don't be a Greek Jew. Be a Jewish Greek. That's fine. But they ganged up al amcha Yisrael, we tell Hashem, on your nation Klal Yisrael, and this that you raised Klal Yisrael up, that you chose atav v'chartanu mikol ha'amim, you chose us from among all the nations and you made us yours. Ki chelek Hashem amoy, we're Hashem's special nation, we're amcha Yisrael, we're your nation more than any other nation. That's exactly what they were attacking. You're not Hashem's special nation. Join the rest of the nations. Be like everybody else. And that's why we call in Yevan and Nikvitzu Alai, that's why we call it the roses. Because the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Kishayshana bein hachoichim, like a rose among thorns, Kein ra'ayasi bein habanos, so too is my beloved, Hashem says, so is my Klal Yisrael amongst all the other nations. The praise of Klal Yisrael that were like a rose, is just like a rose can stay completely beautiful, even in a thorn bush. So too, that's the beauty of Matisyo and his children, that they were able to remain separate, to remain beautiful, not to join in, not to be damaged by the thorns around them. So in Chachamim, when they created this song, they wanted in one word to say exactly what the point is, exactly what's special about Klal Yisrael, that they were zeichet to the Nes, that they were able to remain separate from Goyim. Shoshana, nasa nes la shoshanim, for the roses that know how to avoid the thorns. Exactly like the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And through generations, Yidden had this deep, deep, deep feeling that maybe they'll make mistakes, maybe they'll fall, maybe there'll be issues, but they're a Yid first. There's a story I saw in one of Pesach Kron's books many years ago. I saw that he says that during the Hebron massacre, the Arabs were running around literally with machetes, killing people, killing Yidden. And there was a Taimani Bachar. And the Taimanim, if you've ever seen Taimanim, they dress they look very similar to Arabs. They wear long robes. They dress similar to Arabs. And there was a Taimani Bachar that climbed up in a tree, and it was hiding in a tree, and the Arabs are running underneath with machetes, and one of them looks up and says, "Hey, look, there's someone up in the tree." And the Arabs looked up and said, "Oh, don't worry, he's one of us." And I don't know halachically if this was right or wrong, but the boy in the tree was so revolted by the idea that they think he's one of them, that he jumped out of the tree and he said, "No, I'm not, I'm a Jew. Yehudi ani. Kairei atzmei b'shem Yehudi. I'm not a guy, I'm a Yid." I once heard a beautiful mashal. I don't know where this mashal comes from, but I heard a beautiful mashal of... They say that there was a person from a small town who had never never taken a ride on a train before. And they... You know where it comes from, you know?
Hey, said it many times.
he never took a ride on a train before. And... So whatever it is, he won a raffle, a lottery, whatever it is, and he got first class tickets on a train. The train was a novel idea, a new thing, and he got tickets on the train. And he'd never been out of his little small town. He didn't know what this train thing is. So he comes to the train station. He really doesn't know what to do. He has his tickets, but he's not sure what to do. And he sees a bunch of people hanging around on the sides. He figures, okay, they look like they're going to take the train. Whatever they do, that's what he'll do. And these guys were, you know, these were the poor, you know, criminals who are going to try to jump into the back of the train without paying for their ticket. And he's hanging around with them, and they're hanging around on the platform there, and he's just like staying with them. And the train comes, the doors open, and they don't go in. And as the doors are closing, quickly they all dash into the last car. So he jumps right along with them, because that's how you take the train. He has no idea. And sure enough, the conductor starts going through the different cars of the train. Said, tickets, tickets, tickets. And every time he goes through one of the cars, these guys sneak out and they go under the seats in the next car. So he's going with them. It's a very interesting way to take a train. It's not an experience. And he's going with them. And every time the guy asks for tickets, finally, the conductor realizes what's going on. And he pulls this guy out from under his seat. And he says, what's going on? Where's your ticket? What are you doing? So the guy's like, I don't know, I'm just doing whatever they're doing. He says, but where's your ticket? And he pulls out. He has a first class ticket. So he says, fool. These guys are trying to get away. They're acting this way because they don't have a ticket. You have a first-class ticket. You don't have to act like them. That's what they say. There's much, I don't know where it came from, but that's what they say about Yidden. We spend our lives going to act like Goyim. They don't have a ticket. We spend the Goyim jump and they act in the sugar and they get involved in all kinds of silliness and distractions and all kinds of things. And we're just copying them. Why are we copying them? They don't have a first-class ticket. We do. We have a Torah. We have a Torah that tells us how to live. We have first-class seats. We're the Tachlis HaBrita. We don't have to imitate them. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I'm just going to take another minute or two, and I'm going to drop over time. It's an amazing, amazing thing that the Yetzer Hara, the way he attacked Chanukah, is by putting us back with Chanukah into the same gullus that the whole reason for the Nes of Chanukah existed to begin with. And that is that Chanukah is a December holiday, and lo and behold, there's a Christian December holiday, there's a Muslim almost December holiday, there's an African American December holiday. Oh, suddenly everyone has December holidays. And we talked about this a couple of times over the last few days, that there's big hakpadas. You're not allowed to say Merry Christmas anymore. Now you have to say Happy Holidays and Season's Greetings. We include everyone. Jews, don't feel left out. Your religion is also beautiful to us. We could translate your Torah into Greek. We don't mind making Chanukah also one of the December holidays. That's the problem. That's what the tzara of Chanukah was. We feel so good that in the center of town there's a beautiful Christmas tree and a beautiful menorah. I'm not saying whether it's better or worse that there wouldn't be a menorah, but that's gullus. That's gullus. We're not one of the nations of the world. We're not one of the religions of the world. Everything that exists is supposed to be Yishkain Ba'alei Shem. We're supposed to be providing the spirituality for the world. We're supposed to be providing the focus for the world. We feel so welcome because Orthodox Jews are accepted in the world. And that's very good. It's very nice, and we try to be accepted to whatever extent we do because we have to function in Golos, and we want to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in Golos. But we have to remember that this is still called Golos. Golos is over when we're on top, when there's a Seireg, when there's a line. Goyim can come until here. And after here, Goyim can't come anymore because we're the Tachlis Abriya. And we fall in. We fall into the After Lekim Leyefes. We fall in when we get excited about a football game, or when we get too involved in what's going on in the world, or when the Academy Awards mean something to us. So all of these things are just little indications that we're jumping onto the train with the people that don't have a ticket. We're not supposed to be getting dragged along with the Goyish culture. We're supposed to be setting the tone. Anything of beauty that exists out there is supposed to exist only through us. Not that we're giving up what we found, what's beautiful to us, and be nigrar after them. Rav Shmuel points out, when he discusses this topic, he points out that all the oils were defiled. Timu kol hashmanim shebehechel, oil, the teva of oil, is that it rises to the top. That's why it's a mashal for Yidden and for the Torah. It rises to the top. Oil doesn't mix well. It rises to the top. We stay separate. But the Greeks managed to defile all the oils. They created Misyavnim, and the Goyim were wearing long hair, and they changed their names. The Yidden, I'm sorry, had long hair, and they changed their names, and they were in gymnasiums. They did surgery on themselves that you couldn't tell that they had a bris milah. They did everything to join the culture of Goyim. But there was a small family. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, they were sacrificing Chazerim. But there was a small family in a little village That was the pachechot shel shemen, shayamunach b'chaisamei kogayin gadol. There was a drop of oil that wouldn't allow itself to be defiled. A small family, and look what that small family accomplished. That small family changed the tide, restored Malchus to Klal Yisrael, made a nest that the whole world saw a miracle. The whole world saw that Klal Yisrael is Hashem's chosen nation. Because one small family stuck with the Ner Chanukah, stuck with the Shemen, stuck with the Amcha Yisrael. So Shach Voller says, don't feel outnumbered. This tremendous assimilation. In his days, Shach Voller was battling also tremendous assimilation and the beginnings of the reform movement and Maskilim and everything. And Shach Voller must have felt this a little bit. They're coming at us from all sides. We're a small minority. Hashem Shavuot came to be mechazik. From one little, we're sitting in a, right now, we're not even in any huge, famous place. We're in a little, we're getting famous, but in a small little place, in a small room, sitting and learning Torah, dedicating ourselves to be that Pach Echad Shel Shemen. Not to allow ourselves to be influenced by Goyish culture, but to stand strong and to be the influencer. Not the influenced. Just one person, one family. Bringing the right hashkavas into his home, bringing the right hashkavas into his business, bringing the right hashkavas into the way he runs his life and the way he acts and the way he learns and the priorities that he sets in his life, he has the ability of changing the world. And we should be zeicher that just like in those days, minoisar kankana, from the little bit of oil, it was a nest that changed the world. We should be zeicher today also that from the few from Yidden will take place nisim that will change the world.